that was going to lead Thornley back towards that darkness in America. Thornley was sent to do service with the Marines. And at the camp, he met another recruit who seemed to embody the figure of the free, independent individual he so admired, because he refused to bow to the power of the officers. He was called Lee Harvey Oswald.
Ещё я вспомню, кто это! Я точно тебя не первый раз слышу, но чем он известен? Ну, видимо, что-то бомбанул, да?
And they became close friends. Thornley had read the novels of Ayn Rand, and he decided he was going to write a novel with Oswald.
Возможно.
A central figure, a hero of this new age. But then suddenly, Oswald defected to the Soviet Union, and things became very strange. It seemed that the reality outside was even more chaotic than he had imagined.
It was really a weird experience for me because I was writing this novel based on Oswald. When Oswald defected to the Soviet Union, I decided to write a novel about a Marine who becomes disenchanted with the U.S. and goes to the Soviet Union. And so it was like the hero, and I didn't like Kennedy. I was extremely anti-Kennedy myself because I was so much into Ayn Rand, the laissez-faire capitalism, objectivism. And Kennedy was the arch villain of our movement at that time. And it was like the hero of my novel jumped up off the pages of my book and shot the president. And it was very weird.
Это еще не доказано до сих пор точно на 100%, что именно Ли Харви Освальд.
Finally collapsing, and the last colonies being given their independence. In the homeland, England, the old structure of power remained intact. And not only in the institutions, but inside people's heads as well. The old attitudes of power were still deeply embedded in the minds of the establishment, who dominated the country. Those in charge demanded obedience. Not just from those they governed or employed, but also from their wives. They expected them to submit too. Sandra Paul had grown up in Africa and the Far East. Her father had been a doctor in the Royal Air Force. She came back to England and became a successful model. Then she met Robin Douglas Hume. He was at the heart of the ruling class. His uncle had been Prime Minister.
She was incredibly beautiful. She had a tremendous quality of innocence. And she was, I thought, a vulnerable creature in a highly suspect world, the world of models and fashion. Which I despise then, and I despise even more now. And so in a sense, maybe I was trying to rescue her from what I thought was going to be a decline in her character due to her career.
Can you take that leg just a little wider out that way?
It's sort of really.
That's right.
But she was... earning considerably more than you were, and presumably this money was useful in setting up your home, so I suppose you could hardly be resentful about it. I was earning considerably less, yes.
They married, and Robin Douglas Hume insisted that they went to live in the country. Sandra Paul agreed, but she found that he also insisted that she should stop her modelling career and remain in the country while he went to their house in London.
Then eventually, Robin wanted to be in London more, and he didn't really want the routine so much. He wanted to be going out to parties on his own, and when he realised that if he was in London, I would be in London too, this meant that he had to share his life, and he was beginning to want to be just a little independent.
You mean he was getting bored with you?
Yes, probably, because I used to want to know what he'd been doing or where he'd been, and he didn't want to say, and so we'd have a row. But just because I was wanting to know about his life, and he thought that I shouldn't have to know everything about his life. I felt that when you were married, that you should share things, and you should have a right really to know what your husband was doing.
Кстати, рекомендую кино. Смотрел не с вами. С вами уже. Все. Как называлось? Psychotherapy. A Shallow Tale. Дальше не помню. Сейчас скажу. Psychotherapy, the shallow tale of a writer who decided to write about a serial killer. Это полное название. Очень рекомендую, очень смешно.
I was wanting to know about his life, and he thought that I shouldn't have to know everything about his life. I felt that when you were married, that you should share things, and you should have a right really to know what your husband was doing. Even if you was...
Почему я сейчас вспомнил?
Make it up. You should take the trouble and make something up to tell you, so you could put it out of your mind.
Michael de Freitas was now working for a notorious landlord in Notting Hill called Peter Rackman. Rackman owned hundreds of flats in decaying houses in Notting Hill, which he rented out to prostitutes and immigrants. De Freitas' job was to be Rackman's enforcer, often using threats and violence, including breaking in and wrecking the flats.
When we come back in the night, we see everything outside.
Да, это, но я... в этом случае я не рекомендую смотреть на Русь с Русиком никому. Я понимаю, что я всегда это говорю, но в этом случае особенно, потому что там большая часть юмора, ну, в том, что то, что мне понравилось, то, как там Тянка сыграла.
All the floor mashup, all the wardrobe, all the chair, all the table, all the clothes on the floor, dirty.
Я считаю много проигрыш, если будешь смотреть с ручком.
Take my brother tools and mash up all the floor, pull up all the light. No water. I say, well, 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 well.
Michael de Freitas was fascinated by his new employer, because Peter Rackman was far more than just the brutal gangster that he was portrayed as. He had lived an extraordinary life. He had been born in Lvov, on the border of Ukraine and Poland. Then the Nazis invaded, and Rackman was...
Просто твое сообщение смотрится странно, потому что так-то я всегда и всем рекомендую смотреть без русика. Ну, или хотя бы с русскими сабами, но никак, блядь, не с озвучкой. Точнее, можно смотреть с русиком, если русская озвучка — это оригинальная озвучка, если это
русская. He had lived an extraordinary life. He had been born in Lvov, on the border of Ukraine and Poland. Then the Nazis invaded, and Rachman was arrested and forcibly sterilized because he was Jewish. But he managed to escape.
А тебя уже стерилизовали, Кузнецов? Что же где-то там?
He fled into Russia, but was captured again.
А нет, это в другую сторону побежал.
This time by the Russians. Who sent him to the labor camps in Siberia, where he watched people survive by killing each other and then eating the human flesh. But then the Nazis invaded Russia, and suddenly Rachman became Russia's ally. He was sent off to fight with the Free Polish Army. And he ended up, after the war, in London, stateless and a complete outsider.
Ах, я как качал тот мировых путешествия. Ну, я понял жизнь давным-давно, лет, не знаю, в 14. Я понял, что, ну, блин, оригинальная озвучка всегда лучше, и многое может теряться при переводе. Ну, кто-то до сих пор не понял жизнь.
That horror meant that Rachman judged nobody. For him, the differences between right and wrong were luxuries for the privileged. In the face of horror, everyone was the same, focused entirely on survival. But the English judged him. He was hated with an overwhelming disgust as the face of evil. De Freitas believed that this revealed something that was hidden in English society.
We start with the story of a man. Let me say straight away, a sordid story that some of you may well not want the younger children to hear. This is Peter Rachman, one of Britain's big-time 20th century racketeers.
On the surface, there was the overt racism against the immigrants that Rachman was bringing into Notting Hill.
A large number of people of Notting Hill are trying to mix the two races, are trying to bring about a coffee-coloured mulatto population in Britain, then I regard it as no disgrace with the White Defence League to come on the scene and stand up for white interests.
But De Freitas saw something deeper. Rachman's property empire was a brutal and violent one. But it was doing something...
De Freitas, кто это? De Freitas женился на модели.
Polite English society completely refused to do. He was giving people on the very margins of society, prostitutes and black immigrants, somewhere to live. His empire shone a harsh light on the hypocrisy of the nice people at the top of English society, who would never think of themselves as racist, but wanted nothing to do with the people he was moving into Notting Hill. And they hated him for it. This was captured in an interview that the BBC did with the local upmarket journalists in Notting Hill, about the day Rachman visited their offices.
What struck me about him was his extraordinary sense of being so evil. This was a really evil man. We'd heard a lot about Rachman, and finally here he was sitting in this room. But I don't think any of us were prepared to see such a grotesque individual. Kind of gravelly type of voice, a sort of almost a diseased voice, if you like. The kind of thing which went, "Oh, Mrs. Denny, what do you want to see me for? I mean, I've done nothing."
De Freitas decided that there was a fear in England that went far deeper than just the working class racism. That behind the polite veneer of the middle...
Как еще раз что-нибудь... Твое сообщение смылось, мне надо читать, так как оно смылось. Сбор не нужен, шуток надо жомбы, для этого надо шутки понимать. Я хорошо помню, как в школьные годы в Санкт-Петербурге играл, понимал, что они там по радио говорят совершенно другие песни, только сейчас, да. Ну и для этого, конечно, нужно много вообще потреблять чего-то.
погружаться в культуру, чтобы зачастую, чтобы какие-то шутки понимать. Не стану. Рахман или человек рад, Рахманинов, композитор такой.
There was a fear in England that went far deeper than just the working class racism. That behind the polite veneer of the middle classes, there was a hard ruthlessness and a suspicion of others. De Freitas gave it a name. He called it Englishism. It came, he said, from both an anger and a melancholy at the loss of their empire.
Фразу «Hell is others» не изобрели еще.
Then Peter Rachman died of a heart attack. And Michael De Freitas suddenly found that he was the new face of evil.
Mr. De Freitas, why will you not take the rent from this man here?
I don't own the property.
But your name's on the rent book.
Is it?
Well, you know it is. We can probably show it to you. Come here, Mr. De Freitas, because I need to know the facts about this. Why will you not take his rent from him?
Ну а что тебе в этой жизни делать? Вот другую культуру можешь не погружаться, разрешаю не погружаться, но хватит отрицать, что переозвученный Рашко Иванами контент, он лучше, не хуже, чем озвученный, чем оригинальная озвучка. И ты же все равно смотришь, почему бы не посмотреть в оригинале? Ты же смотришь. Тебе настолько сложно, тебе настолько это больше brain power отнимает. Я, блядь, английский не выучил так. Я казался, я там лучше своего заказчика английского знаю, английский знаю, хотя он не в Рашке живет. Английский так выучил, мне бы еще надо бы получше говорить, не учить, а не только понимать. Но вообще у меня словарный запас довольно-таки большой уже.
Zhang Qing came in secret to Mount Lushan to meet Mao Zedong, where he was confronting the other revolutionaries. She was determined to stop them from over...
Я надеюсь, в следующих сериях сюжетные линии будут уже другие, потому что, знаешь, я быстро потеряюсь, я уже потерялся.
Many of them...
Ну ладно, с китайской линией понятно.
...the men who had forced her into her strange, isolated life. And she hated them. Zhang Qing was also convinced that these men weren't really revolutionaries. They were actually ghosts from the past, who, without realizing it, were destroyed.
А чё у тебя всё деньги? С такой умной, почему такой бедный, да?
...destroying the revolution. Because their minds were still possessed by the patterns of thought of the old, decaying and corrupt empire.
О, смотри, вообще какой у меня успех. Я единственный на Anon FM провожу эфиры. Ну почти. Я, ладно, единственный регулятор. Это ж успех. Это ж, блядь.
...that ruled China for 300 years.
Ну как тут без меня? Ну что, субботние конференции проходят, ну что, эфиры проходят? Ну что, опытная администрация проводит эфиры, он администрация мне сказала, что у нее опыта, она понимает. Вот, как эфиры проходят?
Mao pretended to give in to the demands of the other revolutionaries. But he told Zhang Qing to go to Shanghai and to prepare quietly for a new kind of revolution, one that would sweep the opposition away. Zhang Qing returned to where she had started, the studios of Shanghai. But now she was in control. And the new revolution was going to be driven by her self-expression and her imagination that had been stifled back then. The unit of one was going to take over the revolution and reshape the minds of the Chinese people.
Куда едут эти китайцы на велосипедах?
Because she could control the people's minds, she could control their images. She became the mistress of the arts and of propaganda and culture. She does have great personal charm. It's a severe charm. It's the charm of being able to do what she wanted and to say what she wanted to. And in a society where most people say what they're expected to say, most people express the current political line. Her daring to reflect upon the past, to speak extensively about herself, and to make judgments of all sorts was extraordinary. And she's a woman of many parts, so, and needless to say, her relationship to the chairman was always the trump card.
Jiang Qin began by taking old Chinese operas and reworked them, so they became dramatic melodramas about the need to struggle against the evil forces still hidden in Chinese society. Hate was a key word in the script. It must be shouted, she said, as if it was a grenade that you were hurling at the enemy. And never forget, she told the heroine, that beauty is less important than will and power. But the operas were just the start. Jiang Qin's real aim was to turn the whole of China itself into a giant melodrama. To work millions of people up into an intense frenzy that would have the power to smash through the old corrupt ideas that were still lodged in people's heads and break through to a new kind of society. But at the same time, Jiang Qin herself was driven by old hatreds from her own past. And she was also going to turn that frenzy into a crusade of revenge against... ...her old enemies. Including Li Lili, who had upstaged her in bloodshed on Wolf Mountain. Living quietly in New York,
Ariel 13th,
completely forgotten, was an Irish woman called Ethel Boole, who personified the very opposite of what Jiang Qin believed. Because Boole thought that the way to change the world was to give yourself up to the force of revolution, to surrender your individual self and your identity to the dream of a better future for others. At the end of the 19th century, Ethel Boole had gone to Russia as a young girl and become involved with the revolutionaries in St. Petersburg. And she wrote a novel called The Gadfly. It told a powerful romantic story of a young girl who sacrificed everything for revolution. She then married a Polish revolutionary called Wilfried Voynich. And in the 1920s, they went to live in New York, where he worked as an antiquarian bookseller. And Ethel Boole forgot about revolution. But in 1959, when the Bolshoi Ballet came to New York, the dancers were astonished to find that she was alive, and they rushed to visit her. Because Ethel Boole, without her realizing it, had become a hero of the Russian Revolution. She discovered that her novel had inspired millions of young revolutionaries in the 1920s to rise up and fight for the revolution, inspired by the idea of surrendering themselves to a grand historic cause. Then the same had happened in China.
Суки, а потом они собачек убивали, борзых, потому что они ассоциировались с буржуазией.
Again, millions of young revolutionaries had carried the gadfly in their backpacks as they fought to create a new kind of future. Now, Bull was living alone. She had inherited a mysterious book from her husband. It was called the Voynich Manuscript.
Я думал, Voynich, знаю, знакомо имя, значит, не связано с тем Voynichем, а, блядь, связано!
And it was written in a language no one has been able to decipher.
Так этот вот Voynich!
But one ballerina in the Bolshoi group didn't go to visit.
Теперь вы знаете о связи рукописи Voynich с русской революцией.
She was Ethel Boone. She was called Maya Plesetskaya. She had written in a language no one has been able to decipher. But one ballerina in the Bolshoi group didn't go to visit Ethel Boone. She was called Maya Plesetskaya. She was the most famous ballerina in the world, and she hated the communist system. Plesetskaya's father had been executed by firing squad during the purges of the 1930s. Her mother had been sent to a prison in the wastes of Siberia. As she became famous, she was watched all the time by agents from the KGB. She couldn't trust anyone. Everyone around her had been told to inform on her. And she hated what she called the men with sweaty faces, the party bosses who leered at her as she danced. In private, Maya Plesetskaya wrote out her own manifesto. I don't know about other people, she wrote. I'll say it for myself. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want people whom I don't know to decide my fate. I don't want a leash on my neck. I don't want a cage, even if it is a platinum one. I don't want to be rejected or branded. I don't want to hide what I am thinking. I don't want to bow my head, and I won't do it. That's not what I was born for. Both Plesetskaya and Jiang Qing were part of the new individualism that was rising up everywhere, while Ethel Boone's collective vision was dying. But at the same time, a new revolution was about to begin. It would offer a dream of liberation and freedom for the new individuals. But it would end by controlling them. And in a strange twist, the person whose ideas would guide that revolution. Was Ethel Boone's father. He was a mathematician from the 19th century called George Boole. Boole had been a deeply religious man, and one afternoon in the 1840s, as he walked across a field near Doncaster, a thought had flashed into his head that he believed was a religious vision. Boole suddenly saw how you could use mathematics to unlock the mysterious processes of human thought. The same symbols that were used in algebra could be used to describe what went on inside people's heads as they followed a train of thought, expressing all the twists and turns in simple binary form. If this, then that. If that, then not this. And in 1854, Boole wrote a book that caused a sensation. It was called An Investigation.
Итак, мы нашли связь между булевой алгеброй и рукописью Voynicha.
Investigation of the laws of thought. Its aim: to investigate the fundamental laws of those operations of the mind by which reasoning is performed. Boole showed how even abstract concepts like virtue and passion could be put into equations, and then the symbols used to follow a pattern of thought to its conclusion. Boole was driven by an almost messianic belief that he had been allowed a glimpse by God into the truth of the human mind. But there were those who doubted this. The philosopher...
Ну, естественно. Естественно, это случайность, но занятная случайность.
Bertrand Russell was astonished by the brilliance of Boole's mathematics.
Ну как, кратчайший путь? Ну, путь довольно короткий, что... То есть, значит, дочь того самого Буля вышла за поляка Войнича, который дал свою фамилию, потому что с него история рукописи, но Войнича началась, потому что у него нашли, или он передал. Ну, достаточно короткий путь.
He didn't believe that what Boole had discovered was anything to do with human thought. Human beings, Russell said, do not think like that. What Boole was really doing was something else. Those who doubted this. The philosopher, Bertrand Russell, was astonished by the brilliance of Boole's mathematics. But he didn't believe that what Boole had discovered was anything to do with human thought. Human beings, Russell said, do not think...
Он даже не искал этот короткий путь, он рукописи Войнича так в курс упомянул, потому что его сам удивился.
Like that. What Boole was really doing was something else. Throughout the British Empire, science had played a powerful role which has been wiped and forgotten today. Its job had been to create abstract systems, to catalogue and order the chaotic reality that the British ruled over, to turn it into something that could be managed and controlled. It ranged from making maps of what was called the dark interior to cataloguing millions of species of animals and insects, and studying and categorizing different human types. And what...
Да, да, померить! Ну как же хочется померить череп негру!
What Boole was doing was the next step in that process. He was taking...
Кстати, в первой было интересное про Limits of Growth, про публикацию. Хотя там я согласен с выводами автора, то что... Ну, довольно мутно они использовали выводы этого исследования. Но само исследование не так давно было повторено с теми же примерно выводами, что... потребление переросло допустимое возобновляемое количество, и что точка пиздеца уже преодолена, просто мы еще не осознали ее. Вот.
Taking the chaotic reality of human thought and making a simplified, rational map of that other dark interior. The human mind, so it could be managed and controlled. But in the 19th century, no one could see any way of using the system that Boole had created, and it languished and was quietly forgotten, and the British Empire began to collapse. One day, Sandra Poole discovered her husband having sex in the back of a car with the Marchioness of Londonderry.
Хорошее начало. Неуемного роста.
It was the final straw.
Капитализм же... ладно, я не готов объяснять, не позориться. Лучше не буду позориться.
He decided the marriage would have to end. She told Robin Douglas Hume that she wanted a divorce, but he refused. So she said that she would seek a petition for cruelty. It meant that many of the details of their marriage and the struggles between them would be made public.
And he couldn't bear the thought of going through a divorce, so he refused to give me a divorce. He blamed...
За избиение милиционера... Ну, все, я звоню майору.
Only for...
She decided having sex in the back of a car with the Marchioness of Londonderry. It was the final straw.
А кто ее муж? Have to end.
She told Robin Douglas Hume that she wanted a divorce.
Okay.
But he refused. So she said that she would seek a petition for cruelty. It meant that many of the details of their marriage and the struggles between them would be made public.
And he couldn't bear the thought of going through a divorce, so he refused to give me a divorce. He blamed me for dragging the whole thing out in... well, I don't think he blamed me coherently, he just blamed me because I divorced him. And he couldn't understand that there wasn't any other way. I don't think I was unfair because it was the only thing I could do. And I did think that it was hopeless for us to stay in a separated state. Hopeless for me. I was being selfish. I wanted to be free.
You had to be fairly ruthless.
Yes, I had to be ruthless in order to be free.
And she insisted on continuing with this petition for cruelty. Now, when I received the petition for cruelty, I can only describe one's feelings to you as if, you know, a small bomb had gone off inside your head, because it chapterized the marriage almost day by day, and incidentally letter by letter, Romeo'd, in the most unpleasant and vicious terms with me as the aggressor and the cruel one. 5 years of one's life, say 70% of which were very happy, reduced to a great wad of foolscap typed out by leering little clerks in solicitors' offices. Your letters from the moment you'd met, typed out, reneoed, your letters to your mother, her letters to her mother, her mother's letters to me.
It was all right, you felt, to be regarded as an adulterer, but you couldn't bear to be regarded as cruel.
I couldn't bear her to put a kind of tombstone on this marriage, reading in the way that that petition read.
For men like Robin Douglas Hume, the expectation of power had been deeply embedded inside their minds. But as the world had changed around them, and real power ebbed away, they were left with a terrible melancholy that in some would turn to despair. A year after the filming, Robin Douglas Hume committed suicide.
Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind, Mädchen pflückten sie geschwind, wann wird man je verstehen, wann wird man je verstehen.
Ну слишком салат, блядь. Прошлые его документалки были... Повествование было лучше.
Wo sind sie geblieben?
Это интересно, но слишком салат.
Was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Mädchen sind. Männer nahmen sie geschwind. Wann wird man je verstehen? Wann wird man je verstehen? Sag mir, wo die Männer sind. Wo sind sie geblieben? Sag mir, wo die Männer sind. Was ist geschehen? Sag mir, wo die Männer sind. Zogen vor der Krieg beginnt. Wann?
Интересно, откуда вот эти кадры? Я их уже видел. Наверное, у него же, но... Интересно, откуда они?
Der Krieg beginnt. Wann wird man je verstehen?
Не знаю.
Kerry Thornley had left California and gone to live in New Orleans, where he worked in a...
Что такое Kerry Thornley?
The movement that he and his friend Greg Hill had started, Discordianism.
Ah, это...
It's beginning to...
Это гад, сказали бы, дискордианизм. Модератор Дискорда.
...grow, spreading by word of mouth. Like much of the new counterculture, it was against all politics. It distrusted all the old systems of power, left and right, because they were just trying to force you into their version of reality. Thornley also published his novel, with Lee Harvey Oswald as the central figure. It was called The Idle Warriors. But New Orleans was also the city where Lee Harvey Oswald had lived before the Kennedy assassination. And as a result, Thornley came to the notice of the man who was going to be the main creator of the JFK conspiracy theory. He was the district attorney of New Orleans, called Jim Garrison. Garrison said that Oswald had just been part of a giant conspiracy that included the CIA, big business, the news media, and anti-Castro Cubans, who together had killed the president.
There's no question about that.
Почему фильм тихий? Сделал погромче.
There was a conspiracy. A number of men were involved. An apparatus which was lethal in nature.
Сделать еще погромче.
Of which Lee Harvey Oswald was a part, assigned a role essentially as decoy. Now don't ask me what the organization is, because I can't say.
But the implication clearly is the Central Intelligence Agency, your own security organization in the United States.
It almost sounds like that, doesn't it? I have no comment about that.
Jim Garrison believed that the modern democratic system in America was just a facade. That behind it was another secret system of power that really controlled the country. But you could never discover it through normal means, because it was so deeply hidden. Garrison wrote a memo to his staff, explaining how you could uncover this secret world. He called it time and propinquity. You didn't bother with meaning or with logic, he said, because that will always be hidden. Instead, you look for patterns.
Oh, бля. Меня трясти начинает, когда я слышу про блять, про сука. Почему этих людей так мозг работает, а? Вот даже как-то жаль их.
strange coincidences and links that may seem to have no meaning, but are actually telltale signs on the surface of the hidden system of power underneath. This theory was going to have a very powerful effect in the future, because it would lead to a profound shift in how many people understood the world. Because what it said was that in a dark world of hidden power, you couldn't expect everything to make sense. That it was pointless to try and understand the meaning of why something happened, because that would always be hidden from you. What you looked for were the patterns. And when Garrison read Kerry Thornley's novel, he saw a pattern. Not only had Thornley been in the Marines with Oswald and written a novel about him, but he had come to live in the same city that Oswald had lived in before the assassination. And in 1960...
Знаете, что вот насчет того, какие паттерны некоторые люди замечают. Вот у Бунта там спираль к аналогии. О, не у Бунта, у Дебиана спираль к аналогии. А знаете еще у кого есть спираль к аналогу? У педофилов-любителей мальчиков. Все. Вы понимаете, кто в начальстве у Дебиана? Вы понимаете? Паттерны, ребята.
67. Garrison accused Thornley of being part of the conspiracy. Thornley was furious. He knew that Garrison was wrong. But he also hated the very idea of conspiracy theories. He believed that they were one of the ways those in power controlled you. Conspiracy theory.
Конспирологическая теория о том, что конспирологические теории насаживают рептилоиды.
Made you believe that there were hidden forces that really controlled the world. And that made you as an individual feel weak and powerless. Suspicion, he believed, was just another form of control. Thornley wanted to find ways to free people from that kind of conditioning that held them back as individuals.
There are ways of deconditioning people. This is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in finding some technique by which great masses of people can be broken out of their authoritarian conditioning all at once to figure out exactly what that type of enlightenment is, that type of liberation from authoritarian conditioning is, and how to achieve it on a wholesale basis.
Thornley was right that most of what Garrison alleged was complete fantasy. Despite all the patterns, he could produce no evidence of a hidden conspiracy. But what Thornley didn't realize was that at the same time, there was another very real conspiracy being run by the American government. And its aim was to try and do the very same thing.
Лучше бы нормализацию пересмотрел. Я хочу пересмотреть, но не с вами, с вами ты смотрел уже. Она немножко, она интересная, ее документалка, но она мне как-то мимо головы, фух. А вот первую его, помимо Рашки, которую смотрели, я более-менее помню.
As he wanted to do. The Central Intelligence Agency was trying to find ways to wipe the past from people's minds.
Я хожу по местам, где сидят больные любители конспирологических теорий, естественно.
To see if they could free them from the
Мне рассказали.
Conditioning that had been implanted there. Psychologists working for the CIA had come to believe that individuals were far weaker than they had believed. And they wanted to see if they could implant new patterns of thought.
А смотрели, блядь, мы гипернормализацию, а почему ты с нами не смотрел? Чего? Почему? Я делаю анонсы, добавляю на главную, а вы не приходите. Ладно, те, кому не интересно, но вот тебе было интересно, тебе интересно, почему?
In their minds.
The image of the human being that was being built up at that particular time was that there was a great deal of vulnerability in every human being.
and that vulnerability could be manipulated to program somebody to be something that I wanted them to be, and they didn't want to be. That you could manipulate people in such a way that they could be automatons, if you will, for whatever your own purposes were. This was the image that people thought was possible.
The CIA set up a secret project called...
MK-Ultra!
MK-Ultra. It was led by a psychiatrist called Ewan Cameron, who worked in a hospital in Montreal called the Al...
В принципе, я думал как-нибудь с фачанком предложить. В принципе, я могу вкинуть сюда, если предложу, это пройдет. Я что-то слишком в последнее время аморфный, чтобы даже написать предложение туда. Я могу вкинуть, да, наверное, вкину. И, даже если что-нибудь еще. Я хотел ему Ромочку скормить, для этого мне Саба нужна. Я написал продюсерше Ромочке, она не ответила. А я просто узнал, что они где-то за рубежом уже показывали, то есть английский Саба есть. Я ей написал, ну нельзя ли мне получить эти английские Сабы, я хочу там в неком сообществе провести кинопоказ, вот, показать людям Ромочку. Не ответила, сейчас проверю. Может, ответила? Вряд. Нет. Напишите вы ей, может, вам ответит.
That people thought was possible.
The CIA set up a secret project called MK-Ultra. It was led by a psychiatrist called Ewan Cameron, who worked in a hospital in Montreal called the Allen Memorial. He took patients and, without telling them, experimented to see if he could wipe what he called the sick memories from their minds. To do this, he used repeated electroshocks and massive doses of LSD.
They shipped me up to what they called the sleep room, and they gave me all of these electroconvulsive shock treatments and mega doses of drugs and LSD and all of that, and I have no memory of any of that. Nothing of that time in the Allen Memorial or any of.
А почему ты тогда уверена, что они тебе давали ЛСД?
My life previous to that, all gone, wiped.
Some members of the school.
Я все не могу вспомнить, как называют, когда слишком набрасывают разное многое. Не салат, а вот какой-то конкретный вид. У меня в голове крутится овсянка, но нет. Вот это что-то... деменция.
...were working at Playboy magazine. And Thornley decided that he was going to use Playboy magazine to start...
Скинни... Что? Сам найдешь, если надо. Нет, не попури, я не про попури, а вот конкретное русское блюдо. Солянка, да.
An experiment that would make people see how absurd all conspiracy theories really were. He called it Operation Mindfuck. In 1969, he and Greg Hill began Operation Mindfuck by placing a false letter in the Playboy letters page. They put it between another letter, asking if gun fanatics have small penises, and one from a man asking about the physical danger to his testicles from heavy petting. Thornley's fake letter asked whether all the political assassinations in America were really being masterminded by a single secret society, and the society it named was the Illuminati. It said that the Illuminati were behind all the chaos and the fear that was now gripping America. He and the other Discordians then proceeded to spread this idea all across America through the counterculture, in magazines and books, and even in plays. Thornley said,
"Могли бы что-нибудь смешнее сделать, если уж так, если уж намеренно ложно подкладывать, могли бы что-то смешнее, чем иллюминаты, нет?"
campaign was to try and break the spell of conspiracy theories by making people see the absurdity of believing them. And he had chosen the Illuminati for the experiment because...
ну ладно, видимо, настолько все успешно было, что иллюминаты стали чем-то другим в массовом представлении, даже в моем. Ага.
Because no one could possibly believe that an 18th century organization from Bavaria was really, in the second half of the 20th century, the secret rulers of the modern world. It was clearly ridiculous. Dr. Cameron's experiments were a disaster. His brutal technique succeeded only in wiping the minds of those he experimented on. He then found he could put nothing back. He totally failed to implant any new memories or any new ways of seeing the world. His patients found themselves in a world that had no meaning any longer.
When I was discharged from the Allen Memorial, I felt like an alien from another world. Visiting this world, I knew I was different, and I didn't know how to become like everybody else. And it was a very lonely, scary place to be. This is your husband. What's husband? What's making love?
In the world of individualism that was about to come, psychology was going to play a powerful role because it said it could help to change what was inside people's minds. But what Cameron and the CIA had done showed in a dramatic and extreme way the weakness of this. They had assumed that most of what people felt came from within them. And to make them happier, you just had to alter what was inside their brains. What was forgotten was the other view, that what shapes how people feel is the society around them. Above all, the structure of power that not only controls their lives, but also how they feel. And if you want to change the way people feel, you have to find a way to change that too.
Memory is wrapped in what society has decided we should feel like. You should cry at funerals. I found myself not crying at a funeral, and I felt just fine. And I thought, gee, there's something the matter with me. I'm not crying. I should cry. Everybody else is crying. But there wasn't that need to.
Вспомнил. Жест от сердца к солнцу.
У него есть римский аналог, римский прообраз. Вы пока ответьте быстренько, я узнаю, какого хера мне звонят.